Tsar's toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world
order.
Attention.
The government is the problem.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for...
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And yes, indeed, this is a live radio program. I got to lean way in. Where's my microphone here? I got to turn it up a little bit so you can hear me. I am Dutch Jones. It is the... What date is this today? The 13th, Monday the 13th. I got nobody ever talks about Monday the 13th. You think that would be worse? Mondays already are terrible. Monday the 13th and 2011 coming to you from the church at Cahuilla in Cahuilla, California. This is Stronghold Radio, and I got to remind you that my views do not necessarily reflect the views of the church at Cahuilla, its parishioners, or that handful of prissy little scaredy cats that complain about what I say on the air. So just so you know, what I say, I own those words. When the pastor's on, he owns those words. When Steve Klein is on, he owns those words. Now, we've had a shaky last week, and I want to apologize to our dedicated listenership. We've had a real hard time getting on the air. We have had self-inflicted casualties. I dumped a half cup of hot tea onto my computer keyboard that we use, and that caused some problems. We've had power outages right when we were going on the air. We've had computer failures that were not caused by me, just glitches in the computer. Lou's done his best to keep everything working and functioning. We've had trips that had to be made to go get our lovely daughter, Anthea, who's here, our fifth grade graduate, who can't visit us all the way from Napa, California. She's in the back over there. Are you playing with dolls, Anthea? Are you playing with dolls? Yeah. She's over by the fireplace. We've had a scorching good day here. So anyway, I apologize to all those folks, but it's just real hard for us to get on the air sometimes when we don't have the bandwidth, the computers don't work, and all that. I mean, it's like everything was against us last week. So let's pray for a complete... Are we going to be able to do 5 days this week? I can't think of anything going on. I mean, we got nothing else where we need to be. Yeah, Wednesday night will be a 1 hour, but we're going to try to do 2 hours today. There's just so much going on in the news. I mean, it's all out there, and we've got to continue to do what we do, keep focusing on the battle plan, keep focusing on our defensive Christian position here, and also poke fun at the media for poking fun at themselves, at their own liberal straw men that they put up. I'd love to watch them go after a Democrat like the way they are going after Wiener. Weiner, or whatever. I just find it funny that a guy named Wiener, who is Jewish and married to a Muslim, when most hot dogs, most Wieners, are neither kosher or halal. So I don't know how he could have a name like Wiener and be a Jew, but it just I find it funny. So anyway, we're going to keep doing what we're doing here. We appreciate your support. Donations have fallen to almost zero. Actually, they are falling to zero. And maybe it's because we weren't on for a week, but you don't get the correlation there. If we can't pay the bills, we can't be on. And if this next electric bill comes up and we don't have the money, we'll just stop doing the show. It's just that simple. And if we don't have the internet, 85, what is it, 80-some dollars for the internet, Stace?
It's about $87.
We're just going to stop the show. I don't have the income right now to do this and support my family at the same time. And I've got... I'll preach to, you know, I'll do my show every Sunday afternoon when I do training to, you know, the 20, 30 people that show up. Because if they have the desire to show up here and the faithfulness to show up, then I'll preach to them. Those of you that can't pay, don't get me wrong, I understand. Those of you like Olima that are doing a great service, those of you like Warland who have sent in money plus send us articles and tell us stories and things like that, and all the rest of you, that's fine. And those of you that have been sending in, it's not about you. It's about the new listeners that are just riding along. So, Warland's saying that Wiener is a dupe spew. I forgot about that. You know how Warland's come up with, what do we have here? We've got scumminess already as a Warland speak. What else was there? Masodomites, and now we have dupe spew. Those people that are duped that spew all the media and all the information out, it's dupe spew when they speak. So I want to start using that word. It's dupe spew. That's what it is. When the press secretary of the White House gets up and talks, it's dupe spew. They're speaking to you because they think they have you duped. They're duped because they're taking part in the unholy cause of tyranny. So Warland is last week at... IM'd me that word, dupe spew, and I like it. I don't know if he spends a lot of time in the basement working on these, but that one I like. Stacy says, it sounds disgusting. Well, they're disgusting. And so the words should reflect that. A couple things going on. I feel like I haven't talked to you. I think we did two shows last week, and they were an hour each, maybe. I can't even remember. We made contact with the internet folks, and what they're telling us, if I can get 40 households... in this 4.5 mile length of road, let's say 4 mile length of road, to sign up for this wireless broadband at $29.95 a month, they'll put an antenna up here, and we hope they put the antenna up on our building here so that we can use their tower. So we're working on that. So let's be praying for that we get DSL. It's not DSL. It's actually broadband. It's better than DSL. Your prayers are needed for this. But the funny thing is when we looked into it, well, we just read their flyer, it's a government TARP fund program to get internet to everybody. So we're going to be using the enemy to bring a message out. It's literally a Obama mandate that 70% of the people in the United States get access to broadband by August of 2012. And this company is a 501c3 company, a not-for-profit company that's been charged with doing it. I don't have the flyer in front of me. It doesn't really matter who they are because there's different companies all over the country doing this. They're going to be putting in fiber optics and this wireless stuff that they put up that'll come out. I don't know if it'll be 2.4 gigahertz or what, but it'll be beaming it off of these towers in our community. Now, we weren't initially in on it, but since I contacted Congressman Nunez's office and I had a couple other people do it, we said, hey, you know, we were trying to get AT&T or Comcast to extend their internet just a few thousand more feet because I can see the next house that has internet and we don't. So we have to use a stupid satellite link. But I shouldn't bad talk the satellite. They'll kick me off if they're listening. But so he brought this guy in. So this money, this TARP fund money, is going into giving internet access to 70% of the population, meaning that they want them to have good speeds. Now, for all you dweebies out there, it's like 100 megabytes per second upload. Is that what it was, Lou? And then 50 megabytes download, or the other way around? It's the other way around. 50 megabytes.
No, it's 5 to 10 megabytes download.
5 to 10 megabytes download. Lou's like messing with my head. I don't understand this stuff, and I think he almost does. He knows more about it than I do. But we'll be able to do a lot. And they're telling us that between now and 2012, August, that they'll have it up here. Sooner if I get a bunch of prepaid people willing to do a year contract. Not prepaid, but $29.95 a month to sign up. And I've got... at the meeting, we had about 20 to 30 people signed up, and I got like 6 people signed up at church on Sunday who weren't at the meeting. And so be praying for that. I'd love to have them put the tower here. If they put the tower here, they'd have to rent the space from the church. That means the church would be getting some money, and we would be able to put our antennas on the tower. Another thing that we've done is, here, listen to this.
Radio.4mg.com. That website, once again, is www.radio.4mg.com.
Right there, that's Mark Kornke getting ready to play on our Vice Jarrett radio. 93.3 FM, that's me announcing it. See, I can be in two places at once. I'm a shapeshifter. I'm a doppelganger. Yeah, let me turn it down. We've integrated the 93.3 FM Vice Jarrett radio, our low-power FM, which goes about... I don't know, about an 8 mile radius. It's not really a radius because we're in the mountains, but it goes to the front gates of the park and down to a recreation area on the reservoir near us. So on Thursday nights, when we have Pastor Warren Mark Campbell on here for Practical Christianity, we're going to be simulcasting him. We'll be putting him out live on the FM while we're doing it, And when we get 24 hours a day internet access, you'll be hearing this.
We're located at 440
when we're not on the air.
North Fork
you'll be able to hear Vice Gerent Radio 24 hours a day until we get other things to broadcast. It's mostly music, but we have on-the-hour news from Christian, what is it, Family Radio Service? What's it called?
One News Now.
One News Now. Lou acts like, I should know all this. He's the one that does it. Lou's the real brains behind the mechanical part of it. I just do the entertainment part. I can run wires. Lou has to program all this stuff. I wouldn't be able to do it without him. As annoying as he is, he's very valuable here. I just don't... turn off your headphones for a second. Just take off your headphones. Take off your headphones for a second. See, because he can't hear me with his headphones off, even though he... don't put them back on. But if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to do all this stuff. And as much as he annoys me, as much as he is like a bad case of the scabies, he plays a very important role here. Oh, wait, you can hear me because you're right next to me, huh? Put your headphones back on. So be praying for that, praying for internet, praying for that, and a lot of things. We also are looking for 2 to 3 families to move into the community up here. We've been putting out the call. We have people all the time that, oh, yeah, we're looking. We're looking in your area. And then they call me and go, well, we just bought a house in L.A. So if you're serious about surviving, serious about serving the Lord, contact us. You guys know how to contact me. Just go to the website, DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. There's all kinds of places where you can come up here. Housing prices have dropped here. This used to be a playground for the Hollywood and San Francisco set. They came in and bought a lot of land in the 60s and 70s when it was dirt cheap, and they built these huge houses on it. Well, huge to me, you know, 4 and 5 bedroom things. And what's happened is the bottom dropped out. The bottom dropped out completely of the market up here for houses. So it's a buyer's market. Houses that were $500,000 are being marketed for $250,000, and they're taking like $150,000 for them. Literally, that's what the realtors are telling us, because we have about, I don't know, what is that down there, about 10 acres of land that's attached to the church that he doesn't know, the pastor doesn't know what he wants to do with. It would be nice to sell it and then use that money to build the stronghold better here. So he wanted to put it up on the market, and they were like, well, there's really no, that wasn't you, was it? What was that? Somebody called. I don't know what that was. If you put it up on the market, nobody's going to buy it right now. You're going to, unless you sell it for next to nothing. So people are doing that because they're desperate, because the people have 2 or 3 homes that live in Hollywood or San Francisco. They're needing to sell their second and third homes to make their mortgages on their first home and pay for their kids, you know, lesbian conversions and stuff at college. So if you have the money, now is the time to buy up here in this mountain community. And I've sold you for weeks on it, if you're a longtime listener, about the survivability of this area. Come up and visit. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. Good people. Not all of them are good. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not like a giant, like a small copy of Montana or something. But no, there are those of us here that believe in the Lord and those of us that believe in liberty. You know, we've got problems with people that I know, you know, but the more people we get up here that are like-minded, the better it'll be. And as of right now, the pastor's still not sure if we're going to be doing a conference this year, because there's just too many issues with his health and everything, and we're not getting any help. It's me and Lou and him doing all the work around here. And to be honestly, it's him and Lou doing all the work around here, and I kind of hobble through it. Point of fact, we had a broken pipe today. Actually, it's been broken for a while, and Lou and I attacked it, and we dug it up, and we had to isolate which well it was off of, and it's a menagerie because we've had so many people put in pipes and stuff here. And yeah, you can visit Minuteman anytime you like. And we you know, fixed this pipe, and we put it all together ourselves, but it was just like me. I was just thinking, it's me and Lou. It's me and Lou here. We're doing all the weed eating, all the mowing. Both our mowers are down. They're in the shop. But we've been doing all the work, and we need your help. If you believe in this cause, if you believe that what we are saying is true, that we are headed for a crash, and you're just waiting for some sign, well, here it is. This clarion call that's going out to you from the church at Kauai. Like, we had a bunch of people at church on Sunday, people we haven't seen in a while showing up again, people who haven't been here for long before I started coming, 10 years ago. I think that one guy, of course, he's been kind of busy where he was, but
showing up to church because they're starting to go, hey, wait a minute, something's going on in the world. What is it with the American psyche? As the left and the New World Order programmed the majority of so-called Americans so much that even when there's a solution, even when there's a rope thrown to them, even when there's a flotation device when they're drowning or barely treading water, that they won't grab it out of fear. And so the pastor is really confused by this. I think he's about to send out a letter. We've got, like I said, about 250 families that come to this church every year for training, and we just haven't been hearing from them. And people who think that they're going to make it on their own as a lone wolf by barricading themselves are just being unbiblical and just unwise. You can't do it alone. We just had a great Wednesday night sermon on people that try to make it on their own in their faith without the support of others, and just, you know, go sit on a ledge somewhere and read the Bible without, you know, outside understanding or guidance or anything. It's the same way with survival. Now, if you've got a whole neighborhood down in L.A. and you got 50 families in a community, a gated community, you have a much better chance. But I still think anybody that's trying to do this on their own is violating wisdom, is not being very wise, or caring or loving for their family. And maybe it has to do with ego. Because I think the ones that don't do anything are out of fear. That's easy. But the ones that think, oh, I don't need to align myself with a church, I don't need to align myself with a militia, I think that's an ego thing. They're afraid if they train that they're going to be made to look stupid because of what they don't know. Or they think they've got so much training that we don't know anything and that it's just going to bring them down, which is ridiculous. Because when you have a knowledge of a life-saving thing or a eternity life, it's just like with the gospel. You don't just put it under a bushel, a candle under a bushel basket and say, no, you can't see it. If you have those skills, you need to share them. We're getting ready for our training this Saturday and Sunday, and it's open to the public. This is going to be kind of a combined militia cert training weekend. People are coming in at 10 a.m. on Saturday. Why so late? Because we're out in the middle of nowhere, and it takes people 4 hours to drive here from L.A. or San Francisco. And to all of our Code 20 people, you are more than invited. In fact, remind me tonight to send out an announcement. I should have done it this morning. I keep forgetting. I got all this stuff I got to do. Got to make a flyer for our weed eating business because nobody's calling us all of a sudden. Hello. We've got a nice little lady that wants us to pull weeds, but quite honestly, every time I pull weeds, it makes me have to go to the bathroom. I can't bend over, but... So there's a lot going on this weekend. We're going to work on scenarios. If we have enough people, we'll do like we did last time. We'll break up into two teams. We'll do walkthroughs. I'll post stuff up around the property where you have to go and go through the scenario and talk your way through it. It's more of a mental thing. I'm not going to put the cribbing equipment out and put people under because we've done that. What I want you to do now is work on team building and problem solving. So the first scenario will be on Saturday. I'll give you a little bit of information. It's going to be, we're cut off by a major forest fire. We can't go down the 198 and we can't get out behind us. We are trapped. So we have to start protecting life and property. And we are going to start to try and get people to think critically. And I'm also looking for leaders to see how they work out. Hey, Sunshine. Anthea's walking by. Anthea, would you get that glass right there and rinse it out and get me some water, please? Let the water run. The faucets haven't been used a while up here. You can either do it in the bathroom or in the kitchen. Thank you, Sunshine. But we're going to do that. We're going to camp out overnight. It's a good excuse to bring your gear and see if it works. Now, there's some older folks that are going to stay in the trailers. We have our own version of FEMA trailers, don't we, Stace? That's where we're fixing the pipes today and mowing the grass and everything and getting it ready. So we're going to be doing that training. Maybe if we get through the scenarios, I've got tons of stuff. I always have training scenarios we can work through. But we can also do a more advanced training. We can work on the medical stuff. We can work on some things. One of the things that have been suggested, because we have so many, not farm animals, but small ranchettes up here. There's a huge ranch behind us, but they're going to be taking care of their own. But if we had to have people that are going to show up as refugees and they've got horses, mules, you know, things like that, there's a thing called VERT, Veterinary Emergency Response Teams. Now, we don't have a veterinarian yet. We've only got a dentist and some nurses. and some EMTs. But we're going to start looking that route now. Since we've completed that core of training, it might be nice if people show up. We start looking at the property we have, how we can facilitate, because it'll be beneficial to us, too. If somebody shows up with a horse trailer and they got four mules in it, that would be great. You know, somebody shows up and they got a couple beefers or milk cows. We've got a huge resource here. We're just not utilizing it because it's me, Lou, and the pastor right now living on the property that are involved. The other folks that are living here are busy with their day-to-day lives and just don't have the opportunity to do it, to get out and do the thing. So we've got some fences that need mending. We've got some sheds that need the roofs put back on them. And we can start looking at that maybe, when I have the group on Saturday, walk around and say, look, these are the work parties we need. Why don't you guys come up on Saturday more often, and we'll get the chicken coop set up. We'll get this field ready for some goats or something. So we may be doing that, because people will show up. When they evacuate, they'll show up with all kinds of animals. So we'll do that. I'll see if we can set up a campfire or something. It'd be nice to sit up and late at night. I miss doing that. Remember, the mosquitoes do come out at dusk, so bring your mosquito repellent. We'll bring some citronella candles and stuff. We've got the lantern and a few things, but quite honestly, nothing beats DEET. Just smear that DEET right on you and do it. So if you're, you know, if you're worried about mosquitoes, you can stay in your vehicle for that period of time. I wouldn't do it. And we'll be sleeping on the ground. You can bring tents, bed rolls, whatever. We will make restroom facilities and a kitchen available. It's kind of a, you know, eat your own, but not eat your own kin or anything, but bring your own food and make it. So we'll be doing that. And if people want it, we'll do a movie, but I'd kind of like to stay out. I don't want to go into the church unless we absolutely have to. I want you people to start, that are taking part in this, and DEET is a neurotoxin. Cool. Works for me. Well, whatever mosquito repellent you want to use, Minuteman just put DEET as a neurotoxin. Yeah. Get a buzz off my DEET. But that's just what we're going to be doing there. And then Sunday, we're going to be doing more team structure training right out of the book. But more importantly, we're going to be doing the psychology of disaster rescue. We're going to show a lot of gory pictures, tell a lot of war stories, deal with the psychology for yourself, how to protect yourself, give you some tools. And things that you can do to protect your mind now, kind of build a little fence there because you're going to need to do it. And then the other part will be dealing with those who have lost loved ones or, you know, because you're going to run into it. You get involved in this world, you get this type of training, God's going to use you. You can talk to guys like Minuteman and stuff. They just on vacation, you'll see things. It's happened to me. It's like the more I learn, the more he uses me. Auto accidents, heart attacks, kids choking in public, gunfights, knife fights. It seems like I've done more of that as a civilian than as law enforcement or my brief time with fire. But we're going to show you some pictures on that. And one thing I don't like about FEMA is in their book, it tells you don't mention God because you don't know who you're talking to and you may offend them and make things worse. Don't bring up God. Well, of course, we're a church militia, so the pastor's going to do a little bit on how he does it, because he gets, I didn't realize this, like when people drown in the national park up here, or state, what is this called? National park? Sequoia National Park. Sorry, guys, the stroke kicks in every once in a while when you least suspect it. When they have drownings up there, they call the pastor to deal with the families, and the last one was a 14-year-old Hispanic girl that went over the falls at Hospital Rock and disappeared, and they pulled her out about an hour later, and she was dead. And so they were freaking out, the Hispanic family. They were Catholics. They couldn't get a hold of the Catholic priest. There's a Catholic church and retreat here in town. So pastor, you know, for Protestants was on the list. So he goes up there, puts on his little chaplain hat, and started talking to them and sharing the gospel with them, you know, to reaffirm what they already know. You know, it's kind of weird to say sharing the gospel with somebody, you know, who's a Catholic, but think about it. And, you know, she's in a better place. She's dead. You know, the body has no value. We understand. Cause she wouldn't let go of the body. The mother refused to release the body, and the pastor was able to ease the mother. And usually it's the women involved, too, the parents. But the child is terrible. So we're going to talk about that, some skills there. And then you may get through this and go, you know what, I don't want to be involved with that part of it. Well, we can't guarantee that as a member of our group that you're not going to see it, or encounter it, but we'll give you some skills. Well, maybe you want to be in communications then. I need some communications volunteers bad here. We've got a room full of radios, no antennas, no coax. And I need help here with people coming up and doing work parties and helping me set them up. People need to step forward and buy some antennas for us because we're going to use them to help the community. So people from the community should be the ones buying them. I don't have money to go buy antennas. Yes, I know what you're thinking. Make long wire antennas. Well, I've been testing that. I've got a long wire antenna sitting right up in the tree out there. And after about a year, year and a half, it loses its ability. Now, in an emergency, I've got enough copper wire that I could get us up on shortwave and 2 meter. You know, like in the 80-meter band, 40-meter band, 20-meter band, and 2-meter 440 if I had to. That's no problem. I can do that because, quite frankly, I'm not going to be frontline militia stuff, so I'm going to be back here in this same building doing what I'm doing here. We'll hook a generator up and be transmitting information over the FM. Internet's going to be gone. I'm not going to do it. We'll probably do it over shortwave. When the time comes, we'll have to come up with a frequency where you can find us. But quite honestly, when that time comes, I'm going to be more concentrated on my kin and kith than the rest of the country or the world. And that goes back to why you need to be part of this. If you're in our area and you're listening to this and you haven't been here, shame on you. So we're putting an opportunity out here for you to come and train with us this weekend. We've also got some training coming up it may even still be in June. The pastor hasn't got back to me yet, but I don't know. It has to do with night operations. We're going to bring in, I don't know if he wants me saying his name. He got a little mad at me last time and treated me weird. So we have an instructor coming in who may be doing some night operation stuff, moving, hand touch signals, different things like that. Stuff I've seen before, but he always ends up giving us something that's new and something that the SWAT teams are doing and something that we haven't encountered before, so it's always a good class. So as always, the Code 20 folks are encouraged that. There will be a fee for that. We're working on it to be $50 for the Saturday evening. And we encourage you to stay over again. We'll camp in the park with everybody, where everybody can pile into the one trailer if they want, like they did last time. Beds everywhere. And then we can you can go to church with us Sunday, and maybe I'll work something in. As for the Larry Wick stuff, we're going to be working that in this weekend also. For those of you that were here for Larry Wick, were involved in the training, we will be doing a refresher amongst us. I will not be training anyone. I signed an agreement with Larry Wick that I would not train anyone until he tells me I am justified in training someone, and I'm going to honor that agreement. I will not be training anyone. This will just be a refresh for those who participated. If people want to watch, that's fine, but we're not going to let you take part in it. If you didn't have the ability to be there, well, shame on you. We had some local people that needed to be there that are asking me all kinds of questions. I'm like, well, where were you? And they're making all kinds of excuses about why they weren't there. Too bad. And the people that are going to be part of the security force here for the church definitely need to be at this thing. You know who you are, so that we can work on our plans for counter invasion, how to repel all borders in the church itself. So we're going to be doing that. In the next half hour, I've got articles, folks. I've got lots of articles to talk about, lots of different topics to talk about. And you're listening to Stronghold Radio, and we're going to be right back after this break. Listen to the commercial, go to the website, make a donation, or we're going to disappear.
Here I stand in my land. the price we must defend it with our lives. And here I stand with my gun, born free, native son.
Crash does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Deeply into the microphone. I hope that sounds better than normal. I was trying to work on it so you don't hear too much of the cooling fans in here. This is Stronghold Radio and the heat wave. Well, not heat wave. The normal heat is coming for June. It's not in the hundreds, though. The last few years it's been 100 by now, but it's in the 90s, low 90s, high 80s. And everything starts to overheat in this little library we converted into a radio broadcast booth. So we got tons of fans running to cool everything down. One transistor last year cost us $75 to replace, so we could stay on FM. Thanks for tuning in. I am Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Show on Stronghold Radio, coming to you from Cahuilla, California. Central California, that's right. There are Confederate, redneck, patriot, extreme conservative, right-wing, non-racist, separatist Christians in Central California. There's actually more than I imagined. I keep finding more and more as we do this. The problem is that most of them are afraid of their own shadows. They don't like to come out of the woodwork to train, to fellowship, to coalesce the powers. What are you doing? Lou's over here contemplating his belly button.
I am not.
What were you doing? What were you doing in your belly button?
It wasn't in my stomach.
Your finger was in your belly button.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, Lou, I'm a trained observer.
Was he picking the bugs out of it?
I don't know. Were your Cheerios or something
no,
in there from breakfast? Bits of your Pop-Tart? You were itching your stomach. Yeah, there's little beetles in there.
Nice.
Belly button beetles. Anyway, I should not look to my left anymore. Lou scares me when I look over there. And so we'll be okay. But we are here. We're doing what we can do to keep the light in the tower so that people will see us. Now, people often ask me, you know, why do you do what you do? How do you combine Christianity with patriotism? We think you're wrong. Well, no, you're wrong and you're stupid and I'm done talking to you. But for those of you that want to learn, that are not complete idiots, this isn't new. This has been going on since the beginning of this nation. And I've got a great quote here from Abigail Adams, and this is from a letter she wrote to a friend. And it was, "A patriot without religion is, in my estimation, a great paradox. As an honest man without the fear of God, it is possible that he whom no moral obligations bind can have no real good will towards men." How can you be a good patriot if you don't have a God, if you don't worship Jesus Christ? "Can he be a patriot who, by an openly vicious conduct, is undermining the very bonds of society? The scriptures tell us, righteousness exalteth a nation. that's why we do what we do. I mean, she gets it right there. How can you be a patriot and not be a Christian? It's a paradox. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. That's John Adams. Here's something else John Adams said. This is what he said to Thomas Jefferson. The question before the human race is whether the God of nature shall govern the world by his own laws. And if you look at the Declaration, they quote the God of nature. I love this one. John Quincy Adams said, duty is ours, results are God's. You know, man supposes, God disposes. Now, here, this is straight from the Declaration here. Now, I'm going to read you this. I'm just going to do this to motivate you before I get into the news articles to see what, so you understand why we do what we do. Man, my eyes are getting bad today. The highest glory of the American Revolution was this. It connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. That was on July 4th, 1821. John Quincy Adams said that. It was an anniversary of July 4th. So he said, the highest glory of the American Revolution is this, not taxation without representation being saluted, not cheap tea, not doing away with stamp acts, but it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity. So for all you fakers out there that held up the Constitution and go, separation of church and state, it's a myth. There is no separation of church and state. If you have a separation of church and state, you have Ethiopia. Okay? You have Mogadishu. You have chaos. You have Road Warrior. Samuel Adams, not the guy who did the beer. Well, not now. He did beer back then. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. If virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. Now, that's why I do what I do here. I'm not trying to be the next Thomas Jefferson, next Washington, maybe the next Ben Franklin. He was a fat guy who served. But in reality, I'm just trying to give people knowledge, and that's it. If people have knowledge, the virtue's up to you. I can't give you virtue. I can only tell you from whom all virtue comes and who is the judge of your virtue. But it's up to you to have that level of virtue. And that's why we do what we do. Let's see what I got going on here. Everybody's, thanks for listening, Facebook folks. We appreciate you tuning in. Let's see here. Yeah, Anthea's saying doo-doo-doo. Anthea is dying to get on the air. She sits here. She's just like me. She's a mic hound. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, here's a really weird article, and it's, I don't know if I want to do that one yet. Typical disinformation. Let's see. Okay, I'm going through all my stuff here. Oh, this is the one I wanted to find. You guys know who James Carville is? He's that buffoon-looking bald man that's a Democrat spin doctor. I blame him mostly for the Clinton. You know, the Clintons coming to power. Carville is just the guy who, I don't think he's ever held an office. I may be wrong about that, but he's just the guy. He's, you know, the biggest fish in their perverted think tank over there, and he's always saying stuff that you know, it's usually radical left. But lately, he's been coming kind of out against Obongo. I think Obongo scorned him or spurned him in some way. Maybe he's still loyal to the Clintons, and Obongo, you know, stole the election from Hillary. Now I can't get the article to load. This is great. Let's see what's going on here. Okay. Let's see, where'd it go? Where's the article? Look at this. It's still loading? Okay. Well, anyway, Carville says that 2012 could be very rough for Obama. He says that civil unrest is imminently possible. So when you get people on the left saying stuff like this, James Carville, you know, who thought the saying, it's the economy, stupid, from James Carville in 1992 would become a staple in presidential elections 20 years later? That expression made its way into the campaign in 2008, and according to Carville, it could be the theme of the 2012 campaign as well, as President Barack Obongo seeks re-election. In an appearance on Monday's Imus in the Morning, God, I hate those shows, on the Fox Business Network, the former Clinton advisor said that based on the May job numbers, if the unemployment picture doesn't improve, 2012 could be rough for President Obongo. Look, I don't think anybody, if 54,000, I love this, I'm going to read it as it's written, folks, and I don't always like the way things are written, but I'm going to read it. Look, I don't think anybody, if 54,000 new jobs is the new standard, it's going to be a very rough 2012 for Obongo. Well, he said Obama, Carville said. But the three-month average was 160,000. If that is the case, then he will do okay. I can't tell you what will happen, but yes, if this is the last jobs numbers, is in an indication of future job numbers, it's going to be very, very rough. Carville cited a 2009 book by Carmen M. Reinhart and Kenneth Rogoff called This Time is Different, 8 Centuries of Financial Folly. According to the book, the current economic situation, as with similar crises of this magnitude, will take time to work itself out, and there may be little Obama can do. See, they're trying to say it's out of his hands. So they're trying to do a little, you know, patchwork on the sinking ship. They're polishing the brass on the sinking ship. Now, what you got to realize is, yes, there is some truth to that. Economic cycles do go in cycles, but this one is being overly manipulated. It's not a natural economic cycle. With the TARP funds, the QE2 stuff that they're doing, the printing of money, the not allowing businesses to go where they want to go, i.e. Boeing, this economy is not a free-flowing cycle economy. It's being manipulated. Those are my comments. And back into the article. It's going to be very difficult, Carville said. I can't stand even looking at his picture. He looks like a zombie, actually. But the country, if that is what we are doing, this is gruesome on people. This unemployment rate for this long is a humanitarian crisis of the first magnitude. See, that's him admitting it. The financial crisis, people have studied this, by the way. They know that the things take this long to work their way through. I hate the way he speaks. The aftermath of these things, kind of an academic book that is dry entitled, This Time is Different, what it concluded is that it's not different this time. They studied it, the aftermath of the financial crisis. What we are going through is eminently predictable, but this is a terrible thing that has happened to people's lives. I think the president at one level understands that, you know. Boy, this guy just cannot speak. And the sad thing is he's a southerner. But he is limited in what he can do. See, they're saying it's not his fault. He can't do anything about it. This was all set into motion. So we'll just have to see. But it's going to be hard. If 54,000 jobs is the new norm, this is going to be very, very, very tough. Some people say it just might be one more thing we don't know. Carville said that the consequences aren't limited to politics alone. He warned the heightened risk of civil unrest with the bleak economic picture. This is where it gets good. You know, look, this is a humanitarian. You know, you're smart enough to see this, Carville said. Guy speaks like a drunk. People, you know, if it continues, we're going to start to see civil unrest in this country. I hate to say it, but I think it's eminently possible. Well, yes, that's the way cycles go. When the evil tyrants continue to take and take and take, that's eventually the peons will eventually fight back. Each time it goes through the cycle, though, it takes more and more. We bear any burden as human beings. We undergo lots of hardships for weird reasons. And nobody called. It's telling me that I got an email. My phone's vibrating for all the wrong reasons. But what Carville's saying here, I think he's setting the stage so that Obongo doesn't get blamed for this. Now, you got to remember something. No incumbent president has ever been reelected with more than 7.5% unemployment. Period. I think Roosevelt was the last one, and that was during the Great Depression when everybody was afraid nobody else was running and it was stay the course time. Maybe, just maybe, and you know I don't care much about elections, but maybe they realize he's in such trouble, they've got to come up with some way to protect him by saying, oh no, it's just the cycle, it's just the cycle of life, it's not him. But at the same time, they're getting us ready for riots, folks. Armed rebellion in the streets. And if you look at more and more of what people are doing, and governments are doing, I agree with James Carville. Now, I never thought I would say that on anything. But I think he's right. I think there will be civil unrest. And I think it will be around the election time. How great, I don't know. But look at what they're doing. Look at what they're testing. Now, Arizona is kind of an anomaly. But you've got, Alabama putting through their illegal alien bill, which was even more far-reaching, which was better. You should say, said harsh, but I think she means it was better than Arizona's. And I don't know what she means, but it was amazing what they did. And then how is the government kicking back? Look at what Dupnik did to that Marine. Now I know the Marine down in Pima County, you know, they're saying he was involved in some kind of home takeover robbery where people were killed and all that. But watch the video of how the SWAT team goes in. 60 shots. People that couldn't even see, the SWAT team guys were reaching over the top and firing shots into this guy. And when they found the dead Marine, his weapon was unsafe. Here in Stockton last week, the U.S. Department of Education SWAT team, the Office of the Inspector General for the Department of Education issued a warrant for a woman on possibly either overdue school loans or fraud related to her application for the overdue school loans. They had a Stockton address for her ex-husband. They sent in a U.S. Department of Education SWAT team and kicked in the door, flashbanged them, dragged a father and three children into the street, cuffed them, kept them in hot cop cars while they searched their home. The U.S. Department of Education. Now, I told you this was going to start happening. Remember, over a year ago, I said, look, the U.S. Department of Education is buying SWAT equipment. If you guys were listening to the show then, you heard me. It was found in line item purchases. They were buying shotguns. They were getting vests. They were paying for training. They're getting ready for this civil unrest. And now the left is even telling us about it and leaking things to get the paradigm right. You've got members of the government being told to get out of cities and to purchase supplies. You've got, even when economies are bad in states, they're hiring new and more law enforcement. And they're taking money out of public safety training to train firemen to save drowning people in San Francisco and putting it to train their law enforcement for crowd control. You've got every time that there is a Grade 8 or World Trade Organization meeting, every single police agency in the country sends somebody to observe or take part. They're cross-pollinating and cross-training each other. Every federal agency I looked up, they're all trying to get permission to be armed. Even the Food and Drug Administration that sends people to factories to make sure that they're obeying the laws for putting the food and the drugs together and the food together, their regular inspectors are requesting to be allowed to carry firearms. Why? We say it here all the time. They don't have enough soldiers on the ground. They don't have enough police. So now they're trying to arm all of their stooges, all of their dupes that are working for them, that are now enslaved to the socialist, communist federal government, which it's always been that way. I don't think, ever since Lincoln it's nothing new. Doesn't matter, all you Reaganites that think it, you know, was great. He did all those. He could have destroyed the Department of Education, and he didn't. Department of Education came out of the 70s. I think it was under Carter. Sit down. And the Department of Education is not an age-old sacred cow. All you people who love Bush could have got rid of it, but he didn't. Didn't even try to go after it.
I still don't understand why they need SWAT teams and guns and shotguns and all that.
Well, the Department of Education is eventually going to come after homeschoolers. Where are you going? Okay. Anthea is trying to sit next to me, and she's like completely fidgeting and everything, and it's distracting me. Well, just stay there. It's hard to do a show when your whole family's staring at you, playing with their belly buttons and clicking the chairs and rocking back and forth. And so the solution I still don't think is in the ballot box. And the pastor will come here and he'll disagree with me. You decide. I think locally it's the way to go. it works for me locally. Hey, I called our congressman, Devin Nunez, said we need internet. He brings in a TARP fund guy, and next thing you know, we're possibly going to get internet here. And I didn't know it was a civil right for me to have internet, but if that's what they're going to do, I'm going to use my enemy to make sure that I get what I need from them. And but keep listening. Keep reading these things. Reading between the lines. What are they getting us ready for? And it's the violence in Mexico. It's the TSA. It's all the same thing. Don't take each thing separate. I mean, you may specialize in one thing. You may love the border issues. You may love the sovereign guy issues, which, you know, whatever. But it's the entire buffet of evil that we have to deal with. They're not just going to come at us with illegal aliens. It's going to be more than that. It's going to be a lot more than that. And I want you people to keep your eyes open. Keep sending me stuff. There's been a lull. It's like, I don't know what happened. Did I offend you guys? I'm not getting, you know, I get two people that are emailing me stuff right now. And, you know, articles, things like that, because I use them for the show. And even if I don't use them for the show, I read them, and they become part of my psyche when I'm doing the show. Does that make sense? It's like part of my workout before I go on the air. I don't know if what's going on. It's just kind of weird. It's like all of a sudden I'm not getting a ton of email. I'm not getting, we're not getting the hits on the website. It was even before last week when we took a dive because of computer problems,
self-inflicted. Yeah, weird.
I couldn't believe it. Tuesday, we were getting ready to go live on the air, and literally right at 5 o'clock the power goes out. And they didn't really explain why.
Weird.
Nobody knows why, and it's kind of funny. People thought it was because of solar flares, but when asked about it, they were like, And I know that there have been some websites down and stuff today from the X-flares that are going out off the sun, but and that's fine. I can deal with that. But we're here, and we're going to continue to be here as long as we can. I mean, if we can't pay the electric bill or the internet bill, we're not going to be here, of course. But we're going to continue to encourage you to think for yourselves, read between the lines, find these little nuggets, these little articles here. And I've got tons of stuff on the border. Minuteman sends me all kinds of good stuff on what's going on the border. It hasn't stopped. Just because the mainstream media is not covering it, the shootouts with law enforcement, American law enforcement, is still going on. The mass slaughterings, the corruption of the officials in Mexico, Mexico demanding that we not enforce our laws. It's just the way it goes, and it's still going on, and I'm still reading them and looking at them. None of this is letting up. We are not getting any better. In fact, we are getting far worse. We could talk about housing prices have not been this bad since the Great Depression. Housing value losses, not housing price. Housing prices are good if you're buying. And I encourage you to come by up here, be part of our stronghold, if you're a like-minded Christian. There you go. But we're not going to get any better anytime soon. So don't let them trick you. Don't believe the balloons and banners and catchphrases and little sound bites that things are going to get better. China last week said it would be a very, very big mistake if we defaulted on our debt. And today the North Koreans sent a little ship out to follow one of our ships around. The rattling of sabers is still going on, the manipulation of countries in war, and that's what we're going to talk about in the next hour, about what's going on in Syria, Libya, and how the world is being manipulated into thinking this is a freedom revolution. It's actually worse than the French Revolution, and it's hard to find me to get me to say that, and how they're going to manipulate this to get us into more war. People are saying we need to put troops on the ground in Syria. I forgot his name, the guy from one of the Carolina states, I've got it posted here somewhere, is calling for troops on the ground in Syria to protect human life. You believe that? An American senator is trying to get your kids to go fight over in Syria. And yet we get called isolationists for that. I'm not an isolationist. I'm very practical and wise, and I don't want my kids to go fight your wars, New World Order. And they're not going to do it. And I know somebody's going to get a spanking during the break here because they keep playing with their chair. Go back to the chat room. Let's see what we got going on in the chat room. Stacy's telling me to go back to the... what? You hear about the Japanese government may order a mass evacuation of all Japan. I have not seen that. That's pretty cool. That's really good. General Media says... Border Guardians say move to Arizona. It's $25K for a house that you can get a home on a lot. Problem is there's no water. I don't know how anybody's going to survive when the electricity goes off and you can't draw your water out of your wells after you run out of fuel and you don't have a mule to run the pump. I look at Arizona, honestly, Border Guardian, and I really like it, but just I can't get past the water thing. I can't get past the harsh summers. I can't get past that it's bad now when we don't enforce our border. What's going to be like when America collapses and there's nobody on the border? You're going to be facing some huge hordes of mongrels coming across. Mm-hmm. And I said mongrels. I don't mean that in a race. I meant Mongols. I meant like, you know, the horde from Asia, or you get what I'm saying there. Hordes of illegals. I didn't mean mongrels like they were half-breeds. Well, they are half-breeds, but you know what I mean. I didn't mean it in a racist sense. I meant it in a cultural slam. I was slamming their culture. A bunch of savages are going to come across that border as soon as everything falls apart. So I just don't think that. In fact, if I had my druthers, I'd be in Montana. Period. I would be in Montana in the Flathead. Flathead Valley? I think it's called Flathead. I'll read you a little bit about that. And I'll go into why I think that, and I've got some interesting thoughts on which states, because Chuck Baldwin sent this really nice newsletter out, and it just really put it together. Maybe I'll read from that, make it better man, smarter man, more righteous man than me. But we're going to be talking about that in the next block, about where you should be going, what you should be looking for in a state, because I think it's past the point of trying to harden your target. As good a place as I am right now here, I still want to be somewhere else. You know, I know it's a grass is always greener kind of thing. And it's just the way it goes. See, Border Guardian saying stuff may fall apart in Mexico, too. They may not be able to travel. People will travel. You look at Africa, and I don't care if there's not running water, there's no fuel, people will grab what they own, put it on their back, and move en masse. And you got to remember, Mexico City is 21 million people. I think it's now the largest metropolis in the world. I think it's even bigger than, you know, some of the places in India. 21 million people in Mexico City are going to have to go somewhere. And they will walk for days, weeks if they have to, if they think they can get a slushy in L.A., period. Mm-hmm. If you study refugee mindset around the world, they will just move all the way they want. In Montana, you're not likely to be invaded by vicious Canadians. No, in fact, I'm thinking of expanding into Canada and making it northern Montana. We'll be right back after this break on Stronghold Radio.
The events described have not occurred in the life of the author. They have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, I sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. And since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, no subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. This is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away.
And then they up and seized my bank account, says they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet pride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. Cause when the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll trample down their rights as we break inside their home. We'll terrorize their sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-207.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Attention.
It's an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
touch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome. Good evening. I guess it's only evening. I could say good morning. I could be like coast to coast. But no, good morning. Where if you're listening to this, I guess if you're listening around the world, we do have a few global listeners, but most of them listen on the podcast. Thank you for tuning in to Stronghold Radio. And if we are on Liberty Tree Radio, thank you for tuning in there. We appreciate being carried there. And also on, I think it's Indiana Freedom Radio, if I'm saying that right. Spike over there. If I said it wrong, Spike, please zip me a message and let me know. I think it's Indiana Freedom Radio. I can make excuses all day, but my memory's always been bad. It's not just because of El Strokey. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to the pod people. Thank you to Olima for getting our archives together so people can download and listen when they like. I get a lot of people that send us emails and say, I listen to you at work on my iPod. Personally, I couldn't do that. I'd probably get too frustrated listening to some kind of patriotic show, and I couldn't get my work done. So you're a better person than I. Well, it is, in fact, and people say you shouldn't give the date because it time stamps it, and if you can't do another show, they don't listen. Well, if you only want fresh information, you can listen to Liberty Tree Radio around the clock, but for me, the stuff I do is a little different. My stuff is more opinion-oriented or useful as far as just basics. So it is the 13th of June. It's a Monday, 2011, Monday the 13th. I commented last hour that it's kind of weird that nobody picks on Monday the 13th. When you think about it, Mondays are far worse than Fridays. It is Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. Hey, thanks. I didn't know that was your real name. Sorry. It's funny, I'm commenting. I get an IM from somebody using a different name, and I didn't know it was Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. And then I get the IM and say, hey, it's me. So, okay, I didn't know that was your real name. Cool. If I did know, I forgot. I'm an idiot. Please forgive me. So it's nice to know that we're going out. Oot! I sound like a Canadian. Going out over the airwaves in Indiana, too. So thank you so much for carrying us. A lot of people, and it always tends to degenerate into this, like we're having training this weekend. Here, I'm going to copy Mark. Party in the playground. Party in the playground. Party in the playground, 10 a.m. Saturday. Bring your kit. Bring everything you got. Warland, thank you. Warland's saying he's sending us a care package. But the discussion around the campfire, church on Sundays, where should we go? Now, we got a great deal going here. We just don't have the manpower that the rest of you folks that are putting together nice strongholds have. But we do have a nice location. We're just not getting the people here. But where else? And before the break, we were talking about Arizona, and I was talking about why I don't like Arizona. Number one is water. Number two is illegal immigration. Number three is if a full economic collapse hits, everybody in Mexico is just going to come north. Because as bad as it is here, odds are it's going to be a lot worse in Mexico City. And if you study the history of refugee status, people, distance is just time, and refugees got nothing but time, and they're usually leaving something really bad where the meat grinder, and not knowing where they're going is good or bad is still a hope for them, and they will carry everything they have in carts, on their backs, on animals. They will do whatever they need to do. So it's why I don't like Arizona. I think in Southern California is the same. I say the same thing about Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Why I wouldn't go to those areas. And I know Texas is big. You go in the northern regions and all that. So just border, anywhere near the southern border, I'm not going to go. And I have a lot of good friends that I love and honor their friendship in Southern California, but they've ignored me. And I just, when they come bugging me again for information, I'm like, I can't help you. You choose to stay in that demilitarized zone for now, but it's actually going to be a kill zone, and you won't take my advice. So, I mean, you keep asking me the same questions. It's just not it. Even Stacy's parents want to go to Kingman, Arizona, and they want us to go with them, and I'm like, no. No water, no defensible ability, because it's bad enough now. Think how bad it is there now when the federal government is just, you know, doing a halfway job. What it's going to be like when they're not stopping anybody coming in on that border. And you can say, well, we've got all these armed people and we'll do it, and God love the Minutemen. 21 million people in Mexico City. 21 million people in Mexico City. And they've got loved ones here that are telling them how great it is here. So that's another reason. And the other thing is let's say it doesn't get to total chaos. I just don't see Arizona standing up to the federal government. They've tried to, but they're doing it in the courts. They're not doing it, and the number one state, of course, would be Montana. But they're not doing it just saying, this is it. You don't like it, too bad. Even Alabama went farther than Arizona on illegal immigration this week, right? And then you've got the large metropolitan areas. And the problem is in those large metropolitan areas, and Border Guardian pointed this out, that's where most of the Hispanics live. That's where most of the liberals live. Those large populated areas, I don't know how many people are in Phoenix or Tucson, they control the state. I mean, let's be honest about it. California is controlled by San Francisco and Los Angeles and, you know, Stockton, Santa Barbara, Sacramento, the large metropolitan areas. There are a lot of good conservative Christians, specifically here in Tulare County. But nothing we vote on gets passed, or if we do, even if we do pass it, let's say we go against sodomite marriage or something, they just overrule it, period. So California's a no deal. Arizona's a no deal. Nevada, I have to say, I don't know enough about Nevada but this. It's just the terrain and all that. I'll leave it to the Nevadans. Let the Nevadans be there. Utah, too many Mormons. Sorry to my Mormon friends, but I'm not a big fan of the Mormon church. I love individual people that, for different reasons, are Mormon folks. But I don't want to be, because I believe strongly, and they have every right to do this, that when things fall apart, the Mormons are going to take over Utah. It's their own nation. They started it. They should be allowed to do it, as long as they don't inhibit people traveling freely through it for a while. But I'm not going to go to Utah for that reason. I don't want to be somewhere where a group of people control everything. I don't care if it's illegal aliens, Mormons, Muslims. If they don't, what's the word, aren't copacetic to what I believe, I don't want to be part of it. Oregon and Washington, a lot of great things going on there, right? In Oregon and Washington, but very liberal. The liberal cities are controlling everything. They sway the votes. They control everything. Idaho. I got family in Idaho, but the bigger cities in Idaho are kind of controlling things. We're getting reports of Chinese communities being transplanted into Idaho because the governor of Idaho thinks it's great for the economy to have massive groups of Chinese people coming over and starting these, remember these economic, these international economic zones that we talked about? I'm butchering the name, but remember we talked about it? Colorado. I love Colorado. Got family there, too. Know it like the back of my hand on the northern plains and central mountains. And but I'm not going to live there because of Denver. There's like a million people in Denver, and most of them, you know, they're going to vote liberal. Wyoming's pretty good. Wyoming's pretty good, sparsely populated. I think there's less than 1.5 million people still there. But Wyoming would be good, although I know a lot of liberals that have moved to Wyoming. The Dakotas and Montana. The Dakotas and Montana. Look at what they're doing. I wouldn't go anywhere, and forgive my friends that are over there, I wouldn't go anywhere east of the Mississippi either. Huge metropolis areas controlled by liberals. I don't even care if, you say, well, we're making great, you know, great strides, but it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And rather than make this pro-Montana, I'm going to make it anti-everything else. Because it's obvious. Montana, you can own a machine gun if it's made in Montana. They're not letting IRS, ATF, federal agencies come in and hassle them. They found oil in Montana. And Governor Schweitzer, a Democrat, even the Democrats in Montana are better than the Republicans here in California or anywhere else, they're going to drill for the oil. And they're going to process it in the Dakotas. The Dakotas are going to build refineries. It's key that you look at these things. You look at the demographics of a region, of a state. Now, the other thing, you know, Nebraska, Kansas, those places may be good, but you have to have long routes there. You have to have a huge amount of land and water to survive. It's the high desert. You know, the Great Plains are like a desert. So, you know, Michigan looks good up in the Northern Peninsula. Obviously, there's a lot of people there doing what's right. But legally, legislature-wise, it's not the greatest place. And you've got Detroit, Astan, and all those other cities up there that have been overrun. Dearborn. Huh? Dearborn, Astan. Yeah, Lee says Dearborn, Astan. Montana. And the other problem is, like, you look at Nevada, Utah, Arizona, to some extent New Mexico, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, liberal Californians that are fleeing for selfish reasons because they've created this horrible nest of disgustingness are fleeing now. The ones that have money are fleeing to those states. And what's the first thing they do?
Try and ruin it.
They try and ruin the state they're in. Mm-hmm. That's right. The first thing they do is they try and open coffee shops and 24-hour condom disposal, you know, receptacles. No, that's not what I meant to say. See, the stroke ruined my sense of humor. But you get the idea.
Marijuana.
They're gonna move and they're ruining the states. I think that's what's happened to Idaho. Yeah. Oregon and Washington have always been, you know, Seattle and those things. But the Californification of several states, I know it's happening in Colorado. I'm hearing that it's happening in Utah in certain regions. You know, kind of goes against what I said before, but I'm sure the Mormons will deal with them when the time comes. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe if you live up in, I've heard people, Larry Wick was telling me, loves upper Duluth area of Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota. He's got a farm up there, he was telling us. And somebody mentioned, well, you got to worry about the Canadians. No, if I were to move to Montana, I would push that we invade Montana and make it northern Montana. You know, I'm really sick and tired of Canada. IC Freedom says, liberals have fled Wisconsin, so maybe there's something there. I don't know. We need to have somebody from Wisconsin check in and let us know. Because I'm really curious as to how Wisconsin is looking. I've heard a few good things about Wisconsin, Missouri. Spike is saying that Cody, Wyoming is a nice place. There's a 7-to-1 women-to-man ratio. So all you single men need to get to Cody, Wyoming. Now, I used to go to Wyoming all the time. I lived in northern Colorado. And even back in the 80s, the liberals took over Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Casper, Wyoming, not so much. Laramie, a little bit. And now a lot of my, I got to say this honestly in open door, when I was a teenager, the people I grew up with, we were all anarchist, punk, liberal types, right? They all grew up to be socialist communists, and they all moved to Laramie and Cheyenne. I'll ask Stacy, you look at it on Facebook, a lot of my friends that I keep on my Facebook list because I grew up with them and I love them, but a few of them I've had to get rid of, or usually they fall off because they can't believe I became a conservative, especially a Christian conservative. But they're all over there. They left the colleges of Colorado, Colorado State, CU, because they all stayed home and went to the same University of Northern Colorado. They all became processed as liberals and
it's just weird.
And kept going. Oh, I'm sorry. The guy I'm talking to isn't Spike. I don't want to say your. I'll say your first name, Christopher. I thought it was Spike. So thank you. In the IMC, I never even know who I'm talking to. So you must be listening on Indiana Freedom Talk Radio. So that means Spike's there somewhere. Spike, send me a message. Because if you're hearing it on it, you must be able to hear it. So thank you, Christopher. Christopher wants to go to Cody, Wyoming and get himself 7 wives. Oh, wait, no, that doesn't work.
No,
Stace gets mad when I make jokes like that. I'm just kidding. I see Freedom is in Wisconsin. A free condom with a cup of coffee, that would work in Libtardville. 16 or so left here, liberals, they would not vote on the state budget and fled. Oh, that's right. Forgot about that. They fled to Illinois. Illinois is not a state I would go to. Chicago, you know, that kind of thing there. So you've got to sit down and you've got to check this stuff out. You've got to check this stuff out, these states, and look at them. People are just saying, well, as long as I get out of L.A., I'm fine. No. Even here at our stronghold in California, unless we have the ability, and I'm going to get Warlin all excited, to activate Jefferson Territory, which is my ultimate goal and hope. I mean, I'm not acting in it. I'm not doing anything. I'm just a spokeshole for the cause. But if we could get Montana, Nevada, Washington, Oregon, central to Northern California, maybe parts of Utah, Nevada, whatever. I'm not going to judge or exclude them. To make our own nation. I told somebody today, they said, how can you do all this stuff? You know, you're like bagging on the American government. You're bagging on the war. You're bagging on our soldiers, which isn't true. I don't bag on our soldiers unless they're murdering people. I'm a seditionist. Flat out. It doesn't mean the people at the church are seditionists. It doesn't mean that the people in this town are seditionists. So I am a seditionist, and I don't believe in America anymore. I don't call myself an American. That's why I fly the American flag upside down on my website. I get more comments on that because America is in distress and almost over the edge. The boat has sank, the ship has sunk, and the lifeboats are now being strafed by the enemy. It's like the USS Liberty. you know, Israel's coming in and strafing our lifeboats, and then they're going to send in and finish us off. That's what happened to America. The New World Order has sunk the ship. We're in lifeboats loosely connected together under this contract called the Constitution that's been violated so many times by the federal government that it's no longer valid in my eyes, as much as I love it and would love to live by it with a few things changed, a few things taken out that they added to it. But I think what's going to happen is, and the reason I'm bringing this up, because you got people fighting, you know, and this is exactly what I wanted to happen. You've got border guardians saying, hey, no, wait, we're here in Arizona. We've got this. that's what I see happening. I see little clusters of freedom and liberty forming up. I see even just city-states. Personally, I would like to see this huge economic, agricultural, social, spiritual, military, you know, militia group for Jefferson Territory get thrown together. And then you'll probably have Texas. We'll sell, and Montana will sell oil. They said that they'll sell oil to the other states. But I don't think the United States is going to survive this collapse, this calamity. Get mad at me if you want to. But you need to take a look at it. We've got friends in Missouri, in Rayville, Missouri, that are doing what we're doing. They're probably having problems just like we are or like you are, but they're still doing it. Who knows where the fences and the borders are going to be drawn after this thing falls apart. The first hour, I talked about how the Department of Education has SWAT teams that are coming into California and kicking in doors and arresting people for not paying their student loans. I told you about how the VA is sending out SWAT teams to go after soldiers that are in our group. Decorated war heroes that are in our group, they go after their wives when they're at work. The government is getting ready to attack us, so what we have to do is we have to find these enclaves. We have to find these new defined borders. Stop thinking inside the box. Convert your paradigm, man. Your paradigm. Shift your paradigm. Don't be tied to where you're sitting necessarily. Start looking around. Those of you that are near what Michigan's doing, get with Michigan. If you've got something going on, you got to start letting other patriots know about it. Why do you think I'm on this microphone when I'm allowed to be on? When God doesn't shut off the electricity or take out the internet or whatever it is he's doing. Christopher's saying, Asheville, North Carolina is a nice place, especially around Cherokee Nation is real nice if you don't mind the bugs. Yeah. You know, I've been watching, over the weekend I watched a bunch of, what is it, Swamp People? Mm-hmm. I don't know what channel I was watching. We were at the in-laws over the weekend. And Swamp People. And looking at what's going on in southern Florida, you know, how it is down there, I'm thinking, wow, how hard would it be for the feds to get in there and take people out? Swamp men? Is that what it is? Not swamp people. Swamp men. Thank you, Lou. I'm trying to think. Border Guardian saying you'd think there would be more interest, but considering the way that federal government infiltrate groups, you know what? I don't live in fear. I've told you before, we've got a ton of militias here in Central California. They're all 3-, 4-, 5-man cells, a couple families. But they're scared to death to do anything. They go out and play airsoft by themselves. They train out of army manuals. They get one guy that was in the military, and that's great. That's wonderful. And you know who I'm talking to, Saber 6. I love you. I wish you'd come back up. Stop living in fear. It's so easy to find these infiltrators. It's so easy to find instigators. It's so easy to find people. They do the same things. They come in and they cause personality conflicts. If that doesn't work, they try and get you to buy illegal stuff. As soon as it happens, just jettison them. And if they're not infiltrators, they're idiots and they don't belong there anyway. Hopefully, if they're just idiots, they'll learn from it. And the next time, they'll keep their mouth shut. But if they're infiltrators, they'll keep doing what they're doing. The FBI doesn't change its paradigm. The Justice Department doesn't change its paradigm. They do the same things all the time. We've had it happen here. It's probably still going on. People that are just annoying may actually be infiltrators, but you got to see. You got to check it out. But you know what? We're not doing anything wrong. Nothing I have said is illegal. So what do I care? If some moron is in here taking notes or wearing a wire and is going to go to the Justice Department. If they want you, they're going to make stuff up anyway. If they want you, they're going to kill you in the middle of the night by running you off the road and it's going to look like an accident. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to worry about what the feds are doing. I know what I'm doing is righteous. And I associate with those people that do righteous things. That's why I like Liberty Tree Radio. That's why I love the Corn Key stuff that's going out. It's practical, and it's just. It is a just cause. That's what we're involved in. Will they hang us as traitors? Sure, maybe they're going to do what they're going to do. Tyrants do what they do regardless of what we do. We just have to keep moving forward. It doesn't change why we do anything. People get upset when I put Steve Klein on here. He's too militant. He's too forward. He's too gruff. Well, maybe the time for being polite and nice is over. I have a polite demeanor amongst myself, so I'm not always that gruff. Sometimes I say things that people go, oh, what did Dutch say? And they go to the pastor. Oh, you're not going to believe what he said. And the pastor listens to it, and he goes, well, I've said that from the pulpit. Bunch of pansies.
They just want to get you in trouble.
I'm not going to be here to appease the ones that are irritating us. I will comfort the ones that are being irritated by the enemy. Yeah, I will. But I'm not going to tell them what they want to hear just so they don't get scared. Time for that is over, folks. I'm not saying go out and drag the politicians in the street naked and beat them with briars. No. Even though they deserve it. I'm going to be as smart as I can be and keep doing what I'm doing until they rip me away from this microphone. Or we run out of money to do it. And that's up to you guys. That's completely up to you guys. If you like what you're hearing, donate. If you don't like what you're hearing, don't donate. But I'm going to keep doing it one way or another. Like I said, we've got 20 to 30 people coming this next weekend that believe in what we believe in and are not afraid and are going to learn what they need to learn. One of the reasons we're doing the CERT thing, some people go, why are you doing CERT? That's federal government. Look at what happened in Missouri. Look at how many militias responded to that tornado. It's a good thing. Why do we depend on the federal government to come in? We should have militias doing this. When there's a lost kid, it should be the militia who finds them, not law enforcement. The militia should be the first people that are called when sandbags need to be filled, not the Federal Guard, not the United States National, the Federal National Guard. We have a role to play. And so many American men don't want to do it. It's funny, I see more women that get mad about this kind of stuff than men lately. You know, I see a lot of women stepping up wanting to be militia. And that's fine, they have their role to play. We talk about that too. Around this country, militia groups are forming everywhere. And meanwhile, people are living in their basements and afraid to do anything. They'll be the ones that go, oh, I'm all about this. I'm all about this when the shooting starts. Help me. Well, I can't use you if you're not trained. I do not know you. Go over and dig latrines if you're lucky. So if you organize now, you find these states where things are suitable for you and get to them. Sacrifice. That's what's wrong with America. The Americans today that are out there don't know what sacrifice is. They think going to a job every day and sacrificing for their mortgage and sacrificing for their what are they called, 401ks, and going to church 2 hours a week and giving a little tithe, $5 in the basket, they think that's sacrifice? You got to go back to before the 1930s, before the Great Depression, to see what real sacrifice was like. And you got to go back even further. You look at the things that people sacrificed so that this nation would be free. Their lives, their honor, their very wealth. Everything that they had when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they put on the line. And I can't get people to show up here for training because they're afraid. Folks, we'll be coming right back here in a few minutes. I am Dutch. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. We'll be right back. Keep listening.
Against all evil, never run. crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Welcome back. That's a weird bumper one. It makes me feel all impending doom and I have to talk real fast, Lou. I might want to take that one out. That's a little, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm being attacked by bees when I listen to that. This is Stronghold Radio. Somebody mad at their violin? Let's listen to it a little more. Wow, that's just kind of weird. That's not good bumper music. Take that one out. But we don't know unless we use it, so that's where it goes. I am Dutch Jones. You're listening to Stronghold Radio, and we're coming to you from Cahuilla, California, Central California. If you don't know where that is, what you need to do is find Fresno and Tulare. Excuse me, Visalia in Tulare County. We're in Tulare County. And we're just above Visalia on the 198. It's the gateway to Sequoia National Park, the scene of a lot of weird things over time and history here. This used to be, Cahuilla used to be a Marxist utopian community, and it was chased off by the U.S. Cavalry around 1900. Someday I'll have to do a whole show on the history and get the dates down. I got a book on it here. I'm in a library. And they were chased off, and the land was taken and made into a national park. They wanted to harvest the trees. They were funded by European Marxist rich people, and it just never worked. And then it became, you know, but it was always cattle country, timber country, until the government put a stop to the timber. And then it became, in the 60s, like an artist community, 70s, a lot of Hollywood types, 80s, a lot of homosexuals moved in for some reason. And mostly it's just a strange mixture. It's an eclectic mixture. There's a few of us patriots here. There's not enough of anyone to take over, and that's what's funny. You should see the town hall meetings. It's like you got the communists sitting in front of us for some reason. You've got the neocons sitting to the right of us. You've got, like, socialist, the guy who owns the newspaper who's a socialist sitting there. You've got some of the old cattle guys. You've got some of the Hollywood types, and you've got the real estate types that are just trying to make money off of everybody. And it's just, it's hilarious. The last meeting we went to, the planning supervisor, or the supervisor, what's his name? Japanese guy looks like angry Gregory Peck. Alan Ishida. Because they were giving a presentation on air quality. We have the worst air quality in the country. Not us, but the valley below us. Up here it's not that bad, but it's making the trees sick. Oh, no. But anyway, they were talking about what it is San Francisco. The smug from San Francisco comes over the hills and gets into here. And then there's a freeway, the 99 freeway that goes through. And they actually said, well, if we shut down the freeway, that'll stop all the pollution. And we're like, yeah, it'll stop all the commerce. You won't be able, everybody will drive through your little pissant towns because the freeway will be gone. I just love the way these socialists think, and socialist, communist, Marxist. They just want to stop everybody from doing everything. They want more laws, more regulations. So it's got me thinking, even though I'm in a great place, there's enough of these morons here that I don't know if even after complete collapse we can chase them out and put in a godly form of government, a Republican form, not Republican, but a Republic form of government, and get what needs to be done. Because we even have problems with the neocons that live up here. They just don't get it. You know, the George Bush worshippers, the Reaganites and all that. There are people up here that love Lincoln and they don't even know anything about him. It's like, what are you kidding? So we're talking now about maybe finding other places to go, planting seeds, or finding a place where someone's got a full-on crop of liberty and aligning yourselves with them. During the break, somebody said you need lone wolves and 2 to 3 person cells. Well, that wouldn't be lone wolf. The whole point of lone is lone wolf, like Lone Ranger, there's one. Reminds me of that movie. I can't remember the movie, but there's like the Lone Rangers was the name of a band. And I'm like, well, how can you have 3 guys in a band called the Lone Rangers? But there is a need for that. And she was right in posting it. You do need 3 to 4 man cells, 2 to 3 man cells that are below ground. It doesn't mean they're doing anything illegal, but it just means they don't advertise who they are. They don't sell T-shirts and recruit. It's two to three guys that trust each other that grew up together. While you still have your above-ground group that's recruiting and trying to train the masses to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and will respond to their neighbor's needs. That's it. That's what a militia is right there. Anything else other than that is just minutia and too much to make people think about. If you just tell them the whole reason you're in a local militia is to be self-sufficient, self-sustaining, and to help your neighbors when they need it, and build from there. You don't know what that kind of help's going to be. The help may be that the KGB, Nazi Gestapo Board of Education shows up in the middle of the night to take their kids because they're homeschooling, and unlike Ruby Ridge, where people just sat back and watched the family be slaughtered, actually came in and just grabbed these thugs and did what they needed to do. And here I'm going to cross the line that gets people scared. When they illegally come without a warrant, a warrantless and without due process, and steal your kids, that's when you need to kill them. And the neighbors should be willing to do that for one another. Period. Period. Now, the reason I say that is because there may be a dirty SOB who's raping his daughter, and when they come in the middle of the night to save her, you better make sure you know that guy. You better make sure you know that guy, right? We homeschool Lou. He's getting ready to see if he can get out. He's tired of being homeschooled. He wants to take his high school test and graduate so he can go to home community college. What are you going to take at home community college, Lou? Underwater basket weaving? But if for instance, somebody says, oh, man, they're homeschooling that kid up there, and they send in somebody, and they come in, well, you know, you have no jurisdictions, go away. And then in the middle of the night, they come with a SWAT team. Guess how I'm going to respond? However, if somebody calls them and says, hey, we think he's being malnourished, you know, we think the father broke his arm, you know, that kind of thing, that's a different situation. So you're not going to be able to judge those situations unless you know the people really well. That's where fellowship comes in. So it's a fine line, isn't it? It's a really fine line. But I'm here to tell you, I know I'm righteous. I know Stacy would never let me do anything vile or evil to my kids. So if they're coming in the middle of the night, the Board of Education, to kick in the door because we're homeschooling, it's on. And I know at least one neighbor that's going to help me. There's a couple of them lately that have shown their true colors, and I don't think they can be trusted. Well, no, I know they can't be trusted anymore, and they shouldn't even be part of the cause here. They need to go somewhere. They need to go to a mega church and do what they're doing. God bless them in their way. You know, but they're not part of the solution. They're just part of maintaining the problem. So, because they're not really part of the problem. They're part of maintaining the problem, just copacetic with the status quo. You guys go look all that up, what I just said. Copacetic with the status quo. It's not a bumper sticker. It means you have to actually have an education. Sometimes the stroke abates, and I can come up with these good things to say. Thank the Lord. I'm getting a comment here from Christopher. Where'd it go? Where'd he go? I have two groups, one that is 32 levels above the printer one. Yeah. Christopher, in listening to Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, is just saying that he's got different groups that he belongs to, just like we do here. We have Code 20, which is the 2 to 3 man cells that you're never going to know their real names, that are doing things. And then you've got militia groups that we work with. We have church groups that we work with. I maintain contact with Chuck Baldwin's group up in Kalispell because it's looking more and more like we may have to retreat. That's just the way it looks to, you know, like I said, I don't know how California's going to go. It's getting worse and worse. Crime is incredibly bad down in the valley. Yeah. They've got a dead guy floating in the reservoir. He'd been there for 3 days and nobody knows who he is. Nobody reported him missing. And what they're probably not telling us is he had a gunshot to the back of his head or he was held under. He was dressed like a gangbanger. And Hispanic youth, you know, yes, I'm stereotyping, but I'm sorry, that's just the way it goes here. Tons of shootings, homicides all week in the area. They rounded up 100 La Familia drug cartel members in Fresno County, 100 and like one of them, machine guns, all kinds of stuff. I bet it didn't make national news, did it? I posted the local story on Facebook, and people were like, wow. Wow, thousands of dollars, drugs, commanders, soldiers, the whole thing. They ran. I'm actually surprised they did it. It wasn't Fresno County. It was, what's the next county up? Madera County? Whatever the next town was. But anyway, in the valley down below. Amazing stuff. Shootings. There were several shootings in Visalia. 5 years ago, it wasn't as bad when I first moved here. It definitely wasn't because I've always kept track of those kind of things. And, of course, because they've got such a high level of violence, guess what they're doing? The police are out, full body armor, all their toys, all their stuff. And what are they doing? They're not going into gang neighborhoods, are they? Nope. They're destroying the lives of the sheep and those that are actually awake, the sheepdogs. Border Guardian saying California is lost, according to Glenn Spencer of American Border Patrol. Ah, good old Glenn. Yeah, chunks of California are lost. That's why I say we're on the fringe, the southern fringe of Jefferson Territory. Actually, we're beyond what they recognize as their border, the people that are working on that. And I keep saying, hey, don't forget about us. Because what's that? What's the fort, the Russian fort that it ends at? Help me out here, Warlin. The community where the Russian fort historically is. It's actually above Napa. It's like 5 hours above here. I can't remember the name of the fort. See this stupid stroke. Huh? Lou's mate trying to make jokes. But it is farther north, the border. But yeah, the state's been invaded. It's occupied. California is occupied. It's not a good place to be. Where we are right here is good because we've got two river, two streams, eight wells. But I just don't see us holding out here for a long time when a massive collapse happens. We could be a forward operating base for Jefferson. We might be a place to take, train, and prepare refugees. But I don't know how long it's going to last. It depends on how far it falls and how bad the cities get. We're definitely way better than the cities, but we're not as good as Kalispell. Fort Ross. Thank you. Oh, somebody else said it. I thought Lou got it. Yeah. Fort Ross. Now, the ports, the cities have been taken over by the New World Order. But they're still valuable ports. The Sacramento River is still a valuable port. We still grow most of the food that you people eat right here in the Central Valley. So that's why I'm thinking, and it used to be a 50-50 bet. Now it's maybe 60-40 that I need to leave. But the food here, and if the water was properly managed, we could feed a lot more people. That makes this area of the country valuable. And I know what you're saying, but you'll need the Mexicans to harvest it. No. No, you don't, because who did it 50 years ago? It was the Okies. We need Okies, so all those people fleeing the central states will come here and work the fields. I don't care what color they are as long as they're not from Mexico and they're not illegal gang members. We're only saying Jefferson could annex Korea. That would be great. That would be great. But yes, China does run our ports, but can they hold them? Can they hold them? Now, if the Oath Keeper thing is for real, and I have no reason to be able to understand one way or the other, to be honest with you, but if the Oath Keeper thing is real, we'll have several units of the military that will be with us. Let them deal with the Chinese controlling our ports. And I've always said this about San Francisco, because I could care less about anything south of me. You know, you get down to Bakersfield, because that's where all the agriculture is, Bakersfield north, and then east and west. You know, from the mountains, you go west from the mountains to the sea. San Francisco, we just turn off their water. We go to Hetch Hetchy Reservoir and we shut it off. And we allow, believe it or not, there are a handful of conservative patriots in the Bay Area. Why God has called them to be there? Because they listen to this show. I've met them face to face. They've shown up for training because they hear about it on the show. And I'm just amazed that they're there. They're stuck there because of their jobs. They haven't made that decision yet. They love their jobs more than they love liberty. And I tell them that, so I'm not talking behind their backs. But we just let those people come out. We encircle the city, cut off the food and water because they can't grow anything there. You know, they're only going to live on sprouts for so long, growing on their back patio. And we cut off the city. And I see Freedom says they could bring military in cargo. Okay, so any ships coming from China, you turn them away or you sink them. I don't care how many people they have in the cargo. If we tell China we are not trading with you anymore because of the unjust trade balance that we have been suffering under for so many decades, we don't need China. There is absolutely no reason for us to do any trade with China. Period. Name one thing China makes that we need to survive in the United States. One thing. Everything this nation needs can be made by the new nations that will form, and we can trade amongst ourselves. The oil can come from Montana and Texas. The food can be grown here and traded for oil. Detroit can start making cars again. We don't need tractors from China. We don't need tractors from Europe. We need tractors to come here from the heartland. Tractors to be made in Detroit again. We need International Harvester to start up their plant wherever it is. We need John Deere to just grow and grow and grow. It's hard to grow food in the fog. Not sure what that means. we can grow food in the fog. They've been doing it here for over a century. They still grow food in the fog. Fruit frog? We could do it better. We could have all the water we need because we wouldn't have the EPA telling us, oh, you have to save the snail darter or whatever. The salmon need... You know, it's ridiculous. We need a giant reset button. And I'm not... And you had 13 colonies? Let them be their own nation. People want to go back to the original 13 colonies? Fine. And then you say, whoa, we're going to end up like Europe. No, because Europe had centuries of debauchery and inbreeding and just crime, you know, and tyranny. That's the way they are. We didn't start in tyranny. We just reset to 1775. April 19th, 1775. That's our reset button. You know how you do the computer where you can do the, what's that called when you... System restore to April 1775. It's just the way it is. I'm not going to sit here and whine about what ifs and we can't and we shouldn't. There's no reason for us to do any trade with China. Prior to 1949, we didn't do a whole lot of trade with China. And then during 1951 to 1960, we didn't do a whole lot of trade with China. They were the enemy. Border Guardians say that you can only grow in pumpkins and lettuce. That's kind of funny because we grow just about everything here, and this is a major fog zone. We grow wheat, corn. We grow everything but wheat. I was going to say wheat. We are grain deficient here. They have to pump in grain for the dairies for the cows to eat. So that's why everybody grows corn here. But they grow everything here. Stone fruits, everything grows in the fog here. We have no problem doing it. It's not. In fact, there aren't a whole lot of pumpkins and lettuce being produced here. They grow rice here. They grow everything here, but the key is the water. So fog doesn't affect anything here. Because the fog is only seasonal, and it burns off by midday, so the plants get all the light they need. Unless you're talking about somewhere else. Porter Guardian, I'm not sure. But this is one of the foggiest areas here, but there's only a few days a year that it's bad. So the Central Valley is a God-given breadbasket for the world. Well, not bread, because we don't grow wheat. Yeah. There is wheat out on the western end of the valley, but 250,000 acres are laying fallow for the last 2 years because of federally imposed drought. So the wheat fields probably aren't growing out there because they need irrigation to grow, and they're not letting them irrigate it so that they can keep the salmon flowing in rivers. And even though, you know, it's funny, I could do a whole show on what they do with the salmon. They end up getting eaten as soon as they hit the river meets the sea anyway, because the aquatic sea life knows that all these salmon are coming every year, and they just eat them even though we pay all this money to stock them and raise them as babies. So, but that's it. Because if food doesn't grow in foggy areas, what does England do? I know potatoes grow in foggy areas. Ireland's always foggy, and they got lots of potatoes. So we can grow whatever we need. The Chinese show up in giant ships. We torpedo them with our Oathkeeper Navy. We just tell them, no, everything's off. We don't owe you $3 trillion. If you don't like it, tough. And, you know, a lot of saber rattling. We can live in fear and not know what's going on. But then each little region, we can come together to defend ourselves from outside forces. What did Europe do for years? They went back and forth, wars and wars, you know, the Prussians, the Germans and everything. But the difference is that we all share a common heritage back to 1775. And I just picked that arbitrarily. Oh, you're saying San Francisco can't grow anything where they're at. See, I missed your point. You didn't give me that it was San Francisco, Border Guardian. Yeah, San Francisco's not going to grow a whole lot there. You know, and they don't have a lot of open space. They plan their city poorly. They can have little victory gardens, but I don't even know how many million people live in the Gay Bay area. But I don't know how they're going to survive.
without us supplying them food. So, yeah, so I guess we agree there. I was talking about the Central Valley. You were talking about the evil, vile cities that are on the coast. Southern, there's a lot of farming in Imperial and El Centro area down there, but it's going to be overrun. And just like what happened in Africa, when all the Europeans left South Africa, Rhodesia and all that, what did they do? Well, the local natives, the savages, and they were savages, took over the farms, and they're not producing anymore. So that's what's going to happen. When there's that giant surge northward of all the peasants from Mexico, they're going to seize all the farming property across Arizona and all the irrigated fields. They're not going to be able to use them. They're going to destroy the productivity, period. It's just going to happen. That, like I said, people do not study history. People do not study history. We've seen it happen before. That's why I'm writing off the border region. Because even after it's occupied by Mexico, some people may want to play along to get along and go, well, I can live under, you know, as long at least I'm alive and there'll be food. Well, no, they're not going to be. It's not going to function. God blessed America to do what it's doing, period. Not because somebody wrote it in a song, not because somebody put it in a book, but because it's a fact. The reason that we became a nation was for a purpose within God's plan. And as we continue to go down that path and we continue to be righteous in His eyes, He's going to continue to bless us again. He's not blessing us right now. He's not blessing us right now. Now, I'm not saying God's punishing us. I don't understand always the way God works. But definitely, things are the way they are because we're not doing the right thing as a nation. And you get into the OT and you look at what happened to Israel when they weren't honoring God and things that happened to them. I told you when Obongo got elected, we're in captivity, folks. He didn't take all of us Americans through, what are we, 350 million Americans? If I'm wrong, somebody correct me. And take us into Babylon. Instead, he took a foreign king, a tyrant, and brought him here, Obongo. Now, I know Obongo's not the one who's doing everything. I got to stand up. He's not, let me get my microphone up here. He's not the one that's doing everything, that he's just the whipping boy of the New World Order, but he's still, that's how it works. But just like the kingdoms of Israel split because they didn't want to go along with what the northern king was doing, we can do the same thing here. That's why we were at Anthea's graduation and they did the Pledge of Allegiance, and I don't do it because it says in there, one nation indivisible. That's a lie. The nation is divisible because it is a contract between these United States. And I think the only way we're going to survive as a people, with whatever differences we have or because of regional differences, we're going to have to chop this country up. And the only way that's going to work is if we do the groundwork now to research, study, read the great works of great minds. I'm not making any of this up. This is not my idea. This is Tocqueville. This is Locke. This is the Founding Fathers. This is the Magna Carta. This is the Northwest Ordinances, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Mayflower Compact. Nothing I'm telling you is original for me. I am just a conduit for this information, and above all, it is the Bible. The Bible tells us that there will be, you know, groups of 50, 100, 500. The form of government was put in there. And our federal government is not obeying biblical or social, cultural, just norms of government any longer. And the only way we're going to overcome this is if we work together, not as a nation. There is no way in the world that I can work with the folks in Michigan and in Alabama and in Virginia on a reasonable basis. What we can do is share concepts and ideas and cross-pollinate so that it makes our jobs easier where we are. We are responsible for our brothers. We are our brothers' keepers. And our neighbors are our brothers, and our kin and our kith. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to ensure that everyone that loves liberty and loves Jesus Christ has a chance to get out of this alive. And the only way we're going to do it is if we do our homework, we study history, we don't live in fear and worry about, oh, that guy might be FBI. Well, okay, what are you telling him? That Jesus loves him, he has a right to be free, he has unalienable rights. He has a right to self-protection. He has a duty to protect his family and his community.
Oh my, the FBI might find that out. Let's all just go poop ourselves. Stop living in fear. The biggest weapon they have is fear. The second one is suppression of knowledge. And if you don't know where it's safe to go and where their good people are at, that's what they want. They want you to think that you have no hope but to stay in the city and take their hand out from FEMA. That's what they want. They've won. People get mad when I say this. 90% of America is already lost. Just like the American Revolution, it may be 3 to 5%. I think that understand and are picking up what I'm putting down. Even if they don't hear it, they understand it. And probably of that 3 to 5%, a large majority of them know a lot more about it than I do. They've been at it a lot longer than I have. But it clicked with me a few years ago. Well, 20 years ago. And I've spent every day trying to learn more about it, both biblically, culturally, historically, all those things, so that I can be better suited to serve God and to serve the holy cause of liberty. There is a just cause. This cause that we serve is just. And what does that mean? They're just saying, oh, it's a just cause, it's cool, it's something to do. No. It has God's stamp of approval on it. It has the Lord Jesus Christ, no king but King Jesus, his stamp of approval on it. But the problem is, Jesus Christ is throwing a liberty party and only a handful of people are showing up. But maybe that's all he needs. God knows exactly how many he needs. But the sad part is there are those out there that need to find out about it and get over their fear and be part of it. Be part of the reward and part of the righteousness of this. Because for every one person that we get them to open their eyes and see what we're doing here is just, he's going to go out it's like that old shampoo commercial. They'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends. And before you know it, we'll have a giant militia. We'll have our own Continental Army that will exist long enough to throw off the bounds of tyranny. The bounds of tyranny, that doesn't make sense. The chains of tyranny. And then we'll go back to being farmers and spokesholes and cobblers and whatever needs to be until the next threat comes along. That's how we're supposed to live. That's the way we're called to live and instructed to live. And I don't know how much time I have left here, like a minute? Yeah, I got about a minute left. I don't know how better to argue this. And it's been a while since I've been on here. We've been down because of technical problems, financial problems, all kinds of things, and we need your help to stay on the air. If you like hearing this message, if you agree with what I've shared with you over these past 2 hours, you need to help us. Go to DutchJones.info and make a donation. You can do it right there. There's a post office box on there. You can send us FRNs, whatever it is. You can help us out, and we can keep doing it, because the only way we're going to reach people is if we make efforts like this. And if it's God's will, if this effort's come to an end and the people that have heard my voice are enough, then it's time to end. But if it's not, and we'll see that in the manifestation of how God rewards our efforts, we'll keep going. But we're here for you. We're here to train. We're here for